Welcome to the Great Lakes Golf Podcast for the week of June 26th. This is Hunter Plaske alongside Brad Burkaw. We are brought to you by Reed Furniture. Whatever your furniture need, it is Reed indeed. On this week's episode, Keegan Bradley back in the winner's circle at TPC River Highlands, the Travelers Championship. A close to wire-to-wire finish to get his, I believe that's his fifth or sixth victory on tour. We had the LPGA PGA Championship. We have the Michigan Amateur taking place, ended this past Saturday. We have the Girls Junior Amateur taking place right now. And we are in our home state for the Rocket Mortgage at Detroit Golf Club. So we will dive into that, do some a little bit of a course preview along with some picks. But first, Keegan Bradley, after three rounds, they took TPC River Highlands to the woodshed this week with some of these scores. 23 under par, Keegan Bradley wins with scores of 62, 63, 64, and he cooled off a little bit on Sunday with a score of 68. Pretty impressive performance, don't you think?
Was that the record?
Yeah, it was close to. I don't think close it was. It was not. No, it was not the. Not quite, but it was very close.
I'm struggling to remember, but did they say why it was playing so easy? Was it because it was so dry?
No, I think it was actually probably a little wet.
Oh.
So they were just, it was.
Oh, so it was just, okay, yeah, so it was target golf.
Yeah, they were just throwing it at pins. I mean, for a course that was only par 70, 200 yards, I think they were, they were taking full advantage of.
Yes, they certainly were. We almost had a 59 watch. Was that Saturday? Ricky was,
yeah,
he got
so
close.
There were a couple. Denny McCarthy did it on Thursday. He had a shot from the middle of the fairway on 18, on his 18th hole. I'm not sure if it was 18 or 9, where it rolled within a half of an inch of the hole to shoot 59. He tapped that one in for 60. But as we previewed this golf course, this was kind of what we expected. There were low scores to be had. And just rounding out that leaderboard, we had Zach Blair, who is playing on a medical exemption right now. He needed somewhere around 250, 260 FedEx Cup points to maintain his status on the tour. He gained somewhere in the low 200s. So off to a great start after a 62 on Sunday. Brian Harman, course couldn't be more built for him. He finishes T2nd at 20 under par. Scottie Scheffler is on a run that is pretty historic at this point. I don't think he's finished. I'm not sure I'll be able to find it now. I want to say it was Kyle. What is Kyle from Twitter? I can't think of what his last name is. He's a golf for CBS.
Is it Deer Thier?
It is.
But yeah, Scotty is my boy. I gotta say, this guy is just unbelievable.
I
feel like Scotty, when I think of Scotty Scheffler, I think of someone who probably eats baked chicken with very little seasoning on it every night.
Well, what was his, I don't know if that's fair. Wasn't his Masters, meal very,
yeah,
very Tex-Mexy.
Okay, all right. That's fair. He just screams I feel like he doesn't know how to use an iPhone well.
No.
Like, he has, like, old person technology. Like, he just is, like, old. He's an old person.
Well, he still drives that, like, 2008 Tahoe that it was his dad's. So he's definitely still in that era of just old things work.
It probably only has like 160,000 miles on it.
Yeah, I would say that's probably pretty accurate. I can't find this dang. There was this stretch where they it was talking about. Okay, I might have just found it.
What was this? This is a stretch of like
just the stretch of golf he's on. It was Kyle Porter from CBS that was.
Oh.
So the tweet was like, since 2004, the only golfer who has played better than Scottie Scheffler and is playing right now is right now was Tiger Woods, and so this is starting in the worldwide technology championship in November 6th of 2022. Starting then, he went T3rd, and then I'll run down the list. T9th, 2nd, T7th, T11th, 1, T12th, T4th, 1, 4th, T10, T11th. And then he just goes on this stretch. T5th, T2, T3rd, 3rd, 3rd, T4th. It's very impressive. So he has not finished outside of T12th in what looks like about 15 events.
You know what I need? I need Lou Stagner to do for me is I need him to add up Scotty's total number of putts from that time span.
I'm not sure you're going to want to see that.
I think I do. Although we have turned a corner. I had 27 putts the last time I played golf.
Holy moly. How many greens?
Although how many greens? I want to say it was like 8. I think I have the card over there on the floor. I think it was like 8, but I can't really say it was really the putter because I almost chipped in probably 3 or 4 times. So when they're only, you know, 4 or 5 inches, I don't know if you can really attribute that too much.
Hey,
to the putter.
We don't have to get picky with it.
That's true.
Just rounding out that the rest of the top five, Patrick Cantlay, who I had high hopes for this weekend, finished in T4th, 19 under par. He had a great Saturday, shot 61, followed it up with a 67 on Sunday. Our boy Ches Reavie could not keep the magic going on Sunday. He fired a 71, 1 under after rounds of 64, 63, 63 heading into Sunday. And then just rounding out quickly the top 10, Rory McIlroy surprisingly played pretty well at this golf course for a course that you wouldn't really expect him to play well. A lot of wedges in his hands. He finished T7th at 18 under par. Denny McCarthy, after I said, remember that 60 on Thursday, finished at 18 under. Minwoo Lee is a name that I expect pretty big things from here in the very near future. He's on a little bit of a run right now. He finished T9th. Corey Connors, T9th. Alex Smalley, T9th. And then finally, Justin Thomas took his head out of his butt for a week and shot T9th. He fired a nice little 62 on Saturday to put himself in contention going into Sunday. So that is your top 10.
It's pretty crazy that Justin Thomas is also a listener of the podcast.
Yeah.
Seeing as last week we were on him pretty hard, and look what he did.
Yeah, I don't really know. I still don't necessarily know what to make of Justin Thomas. But I think I posed the question a few months ago, maybe, that he is under, he is not playing anywhere near the level that I thought he'd be playing if you would ask me this 4 or 5 years ago. Like, it's just, it's not even remotely close. He's not even good. We talked about it last week, 2 weeks ago. There's a fair good chance he doesn't make the Ryder Cup team.
A
really good chance.
That's definitely a strong possibility. It's the one thing that I will say about him is, yes, he hasn't had the career that I also agree with you that he hasn't had the career that I think most people think he would have had by now. I will say that if this is going to be his dip, where we've seen players like Spieth, like Ricky, like Jason Day, who go through this dip and then they rebound. If this is it for him, then that's not bad. So if he has bad days, and obviously we poke fun at his 81, but like, I feel like he's still one of the most consistent players. And even on his bad days and his bad periods, he can still pull it together. And so I don't know why he has, there's got to be something. He has the skills. He should have won more majors by now. It's got to be mental. I know his putter was just god awful forever. I think it still is, to be honest, but.
Yeah, so we actually, I think what is, what could potentially help him is he has a fairly good record at the Ryder Cup. So he's 6-2-1 in his two Ryder Cups. Obviously, Whistling Straits was a little bit of a routing, and then I can't remember what the final score of the previous one was. So he has had some success. So it'd be very likely that Zach Johnson picks him as a captain's pick. But it is tough to see a little bit of a fall from grace. And if you wanted to, you don't want to talk about another man's job, but Bones could go back to being on TV here anytime. Let's find somebody else. So a little change of scenery.
Bones almost seemed like he had a little bit of a added benefit aside from being a caddy, whereas he drew in. I think JT was thinking of some pip numbers too when he picked Bones.
Oh, you think? Racking up those pip numbers.
Could be.
Yeah, so that's, I did not watch a ton of the Travelers. Everything I heard, the fact that it was a designated event right after a major, I think the small town crowd of Cromwell, Connecticut definitely showed out, and it probably looked busier. It did look busier than it was at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I mean, there was talks about it there, you know, about the crowds at the Travelers being more lively than that at the U.S. Open. I'm not going to comment on it, but there were talks of it.
Yeah, no, I completely understood. All right, let's move on.
Well, one thing I just wanted to wrap up the Travelers. I did watch Sunday. I watched most of Thursday, Friday. I didn't catch much of Saturday, but I did watch the closing on Sunday. And when you're watching a golf tournament where the winner bogeys three out of his last six holes, then, you know, it's not super exciting, but it was pretty cool to see Keegan Bradley win it, though, hometown hero.
Yeah, so I want to say they brought it up what his victories. He has like some really good victories on tour. He obviously has the PGA Championship, but then he won the Zozo Championship last year, which is always a decent field. So starting in. So he won the Byron Nelson in 2011 in May, and then August of 2011, he won the PGA Championship. He won the WGC Bridgestone Invitational in 2012. BMW Championship, which was part of the playoff series in 2018. He won the Zozo in 2020, and now he won a designated event, Travelers, in 2023. So very under the radar. I mean, always been a great ball striker, and now we might as well, he was making putts left and right because he was using that gosh dang Odyssey jailbreak.
Dude, what is up with that putter? Did you buy one yet?
No, I haven't.
Did you see I'll be honest, I haven't looked into it a ton, but was it like a discontinued putter and now Odyssey is like bringing it back? I saw something where like they were re-releasing it on, I think, today, Wednesday.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it was discontinued, or they stopped production of it within the last couple of years. And you have a guy win, a guy finish second, and a guy win all in 2 weeks. Might be a little bit of demand for it.
It's like, you know what? If I was on Odyssey's marketing team, you know what the perfect marketing thing would be for this putter? You take Rory McIlroy's face and you Photoshop it onto the Undertaker meme where he's coming out of the casket, and you have him holding the Odyssey jailbird putter, because I think that single-handedly revived his career.
Yeah. Wait, who?
It,
Rory.
Ricky.
Oh, Rory.
Ricky.
I thought you said Rory.
No, Ricky.
Okay.
You got Ricky's face on the Undertaker popping out of the casket, just holding the Odyssey jailbird putter, and that's their commercial right there.
That's something they should definitely workshop that.
They should pay me for that.
We'll be expecting a check.
I'll send them an invoice.
And this is completely out of the blue, but I'm looking at Keegan Bradley's Wikipedia page, and I'm not sure if you remember this, but Cleveland came out with a driver maybe 10 years ago now, around 2012, that was like a smaller head, and it was supposed to be like, it was supposed to be like a classic, like it looked like a classic club, and I just saw it, and I'm sending you a picture of it right now. Very, very funny club, and I don't know, I don't think they sold any of them. It's like a 420, 425 cc head.
Oh my gosh, look at this thing. It's like the little mini burner now.
Yeah.
But not good.
Yeah. So that gave me a little chuckle. All right, well, let's move on. Congratulations to Keegan Bradley. We will jump back into a little bit of Rocket Mortgage talk here shortly, but quickly, let's talk about the ladies. They had their ladies PGA championship in Springfield, New Jersey this past weekend at Baltusrol lower course. Very, very good finish. Very cool finish. Back-to-back par fives to finish the golf tournament was pretty electric to watch. A lot of opportunity coming down the stretch. Ring Yin from China won with a score of 8 under par. She made about a 10-foot, 12-foot birdie putt on 18 to win. Yuka Saso finished in second at 7 under par. Korlata Singanga finished at 6 under. Anna Nordqvist finished at 6 under as well. And Megan Kang finished at 6 under. I'll tell you what, Brad, I am very invested in Rose Zhang. And she might be like the one of the best things that's ever happened to the LPGA in a very, very long time. So she finished in round four. She was making her way up the leaderboard. She was one back, ended up making a bogey on 16, parred both the par fives, but she was right in contention. And there's just a little different feeling in the air when on Twitter, when Rose is playing and playing well. I couldn't be more excited for what the future holds for her and for the ladies game.
Yeah, no, she's impressive, isn't she? Especially after her second round was a little shaky,
mm-hmm.
which is impressive for someone of her age to be able to rebound mentally and come back and finish strong. And speaking of her, this is kind of a side topic, but I wanted to get your thoughts, and I'm throwing you a little bit of a curveball here. Mm. We have two Americans in the top 10 in this event. Where's the ladies' game been? I mean, so we've got Rose coming out, but I think it's been known for a while that the U.S. women's isn't the strongest nationality in the women's game.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Do
you have any? Because because me personally, I guess before I throw you on the spot, I'll give mine. I don't really know enough to give a valid answer because it's strange because in the U.S. versus other countries, I feel like women have more, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like women have more opportunity to play to play golf and other sports. And you look at men and even women in other sports, it's like soccer, where the women have historically dominated. So I'm not sure what the issue is and if there is an issue at all, or if it's just that other countries maybe put more investment in their women over men, but I don't know. So I'm curious if you have any thoughts.
Yeah, I think I just take it back to just the lack of junior development in the United States, where the guys can get away with it in the United States. But with I think there's places in Japan and Asia and somewhere in that part of the country or that part of the world where they're going to school from a very young age to be golfers. where that's just not really an avenue as much in the United States. But I don't really have an answer as to why there have been such a lack of quality American golfers on the ladies' side for what's been a while. I mean, there's been the occasional really good American player, but there's never really been what I would consider a great American player. I think when I think of like all time ladies, I think of Annika Sorenstam, which obviously she's not American. I think of even Lorena Ochoa. She's Mexican. I don't really know if I have a good answer for you, but I do think that other countries value development a lot more than what the United States does. And I think that's the case like across all sports.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair outside of probably football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, I'd agree with you on those points. It is interesting though. I hope that Rose can kind of pave the path for other young, even boys or girls, whatever. But it is interesting to see.
I'll be damned if there's not some American ladies in 10 years.
There's got to be.
That are going to be solely because of Rose.
They've got to be. Well, we've got a friend of ours who's got a girl, so we'll get her on the sticks here soon.
Yes, exactly. All right, moving on to the 112th Michigan Amateur. This was at Oakland Hills Country Club, the North Course. August Mikoff from Michigan State reigns victorious. He won the championship over Will Anderson after beating Jimmy Dales in the semifinal. In the quarterfinals, he took down Brad Bastian from Shelby Township. And then in the round of 16, he beat Michael Anderson from Novi. So overall, great performance from from August. He had a pretty solid season at Michigan State. So to see him paid off with a victory at the Michigan Amateur is obviously very special for him. And we will kind of keep you up to date as far as how August fares the rest of the season. As I mentioned in the opener, the 45th Michigan Girls Junior State Amateur, which is at Forest Acres West Course, is currently taking place right now. Through the stroke play portion of the event, we have... It wants to load. Elena Lee from Okemos, currently was the medalist for the stroke play. Bridget Wilkie from Bluffton finished second. Elena Freet from Naples finished third. And in fourth was Macy Elzinga from Byron Center. So we will give you some stroke play, or rather match play scores when they come in next week. And then just while I'm thinking about it, the Michigan Boys Junior State Amateur is actually pretty close to us, or close to me up here. It's at Augaming, which I have never had the luxury of playing. Kind of about 45 minutes south of us, near, what would that be, like Elk Rapids area? A little north of Elk Rapids.
Played Augaming?
No, I don't think so.
Didn't we play that in high school?
That might have been a JV event, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
I know. Was it the other one? What's the other one right there?
Antrim Dells was definitely
a game. No, it wasn't Antrim Dells, because I know that one. But there's another one there. They have three.
Well, there's Sundance and there's Torch.
Oh, I think it was Sundance. Did we play Sundance? I think, or maybe I'm just thinking of Antrim Dells.
I'm almost positive there was a high school event there at one point. I just don't think I played.
Huh. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
So that is coming up here, I want to say, somewhere in the middle of July, beginning of July. So we'll give you some scores when that comes in. All right. How about a little bit of Rocket Mortgage preview at Detroit Golf Club, the beaten and battered Detroit Golf Club. I'm not sure if you've seen those pictures from that storm that came through this past weekend, but they have some tree troubles. There are a lot of trees down. I'm sure the maintenance crew we'll get it all squared away, but the pictures looked pretty brutal. It did not look great.
So for how much we have been desperate for events in Michigan, it's going to be tough. The weather is so, yes, the trees are down, and then they might get smoked out of that place. I mean, for crying out loud, they might end up looking like smoked salmons by the time the tournament's over with.
Yeah, that is true. I have not really noticed it that much until yesterday. I walked outside for like 10 seconds. I walked back inside. My eyes are itching like crazy.
So apparently here in Grand Rapids, the air index was the worst in the country yesterday at one point during the day.
Wow. That's not good.
So it's unfortunate. I hope that that at least doesn't rain, because gosh, if it does, it might be acidic rain at that point from all this smoke up there. But I do hope that the weather holds out, the course plays well, because for us Michiganders, I feel like we always are very defensive of our golf here, because we're never put on the lists with the Arizonas, the Floridas, the Texases of the country. But I think that any Michigander would go to bat and say that our golf here is just as strong as any other place that you'll find in the country. So I hope our event holds out well. It's tough that it's the 4th of July weekend, and just about anybody from Detroit goes up north for this weekend. I mean, for me personally, like I could drive to this event in probably 3 hours, and you know, I have friends that live there. I'm sure I could find a place to stay, but how could I not be in northern Michigan for the 4th of July?
Yeah, it's not the best place to be scheduled, but I will take this place in the schedule over one side or the other of the Open, which is where it had been.
Which is
a little tough to get people to show up after they have to fly X amount of hours across the pond. So fifth year of the addition at Detroit Golf Club. Winning scores range anywhere from 1800 to 2600. Donald Ross design. You mentioned it being, we do take our golf very seriously here. I don't necessarily think this is the best test of what Michigan golf really is, but unfortunately, just with the logistics side of things, like unless they're going to build an international airport in northern Michigan anytime soon, I don't expect that to happen. I think this is the best we're going to get, but I do think it is very unfortunate, because if you think about all of the really good golf courses we have in this state, Detroit Golf Club does not make that list, unfortunately. But we got to take what we can get. So, to your point, the winning scores have been, just as of last year in 2022, winning score of 26 under par, four par fours that play under 400 yards, only two that play over 460 yards, par 72, stretches only at 7,370 yards. Not the largest fairways you've ever seen, but not really a huge penalty for missing them. Rough's not super long. There are trees. It's going to be a lot of wedge opportunities. The field last year averaged 72% of greens in regulation per round. So that was 36 of the 75 golfers who made the cut also hit 75% of the greens on the weekend or throughout the week. So if you are striking it well, you can post a low number here. Bent POA fairways, Kentucky bluegrass rough greens, and the greens that have a little bit of POA with a little bit of bent grass blend. Just some quotes from players on this event. So it's very old school. That's kind of a common theme. You keep hearing old school with some very funky putts. So I think that is a Donald Ross design that is going to be the punishment, or the way of it beating you is the greens being tricky. But unfortunately, these guys are so good that you can't really there's only so many ridges you can put the pins on, and they're still going to shoot a low number. Really, at the end of the day. How about a course or an odds board? So it looks like leading the odds board, three guys. This is as of Wednesday morning, 9:40, Michigan FanDuel. Tony Finau is at 14 to 1. Colin Morikawa and Ricky Fowler also at 14 to 1. Ricky Fowler at 14 to 1. Holy moly!
He's back.
That's just, there's not much value there. I'll tell you that much. But I shouldn't say that because he is playing well. But I never thought you'd ever see Ricky at 14 to 1 again. Hideki Matsuyama 16 to 1. Max Homa at 18. Justin Thomas at 20. Coming off a decent performance for the Travelers. Sungjae Im at 22, Tom Kim at 22, Keegan Bradley at 28, Ludvig Åberg at 35, Cam Davis 35, Ben Ahn at 40, and rounding out, we'll just go to the 60s, Brian Harman at 50 to 1, Sepp Straka at 55, Austin Eckrod at 55, Steven Yeager at 55, and finally, a bunch of guys at 60, J.J. Spahn, Taylor Moore, Alex Smalley, Chris Kirk, and Bo Hosler round out the 60-to-1s. We did mention it that there are a couple of big names. I'm actually, to be totally, I'm pretty thrilled with this field, given the fact that it is the 4th of July. We are coming off of the U.S. Open, followed by another designated event. I don't think it's that bad of a field. For what it potentially could have been.
No, I think this is a great field for Detroit. I think we're still trying to build momentum back up here in Michigan for pro events. So I think it's great to see. I mean, I want to say the first year they did this event that like literally nobody played that you could, like, I bet if you looked at the leaderboard, who even won? Who won the first? I'm curious now. Who won the first Rocket Mortgage Classic, because I can't even remember, to be quite honest with you. So 29, Nate Lashley. So Nate Lashley beat Doc Redman for the inaugural Rocket Mortgage Classic in 2019. So it's nice to see some bigger names coming here to Michigan to play. I hope that they have a good experience, the pros, because it makes all the difference in the world. They can just as easily opt out of these events, or this event in particular. So hopefully they have a good experience. They take care of the guys. The course plays well. Fans show up. I'm excited for it. I hope I'll be able to watch as much as I can.
Yeah. Yeah. It really goes back to, I try to think of this as a positive thing. At least we have an event in Michigan. That's a good thing. I do wish it was at a little bit tougher of a golf course, because it does feel like we're like the laughing stock of the PGA Tour. Like they're gonna shoot 20. I saw Tony Finau say that there's a good chance that 30 wins it because it's so wet.
It has rained a lot. I bet that course is soaked. You have a few past winners. Yeah, I mean, so you brought it up, and I was trying to think. So you brought up the airport thing. We do have an airport here, an international airport here in Grand Rapids, but I don't think that there would be a course that could handle a PGA event here. So I'm trying to think of it's unfortunate, because I feel like a lot of Michigan's great courses are hard to get to, which is nice from a locals perspective, but not from a PGA logistics perspective.
No, like I would think, so we played American Dunes, which is a Jack Nicklaus course in Grand Haven or South Haven. That was a PGA golf course, but just getting there was a treat, and there was no hotels anywhere near it. So that's another thing. You have to have places for people to stay. That doesn't have it. They do have the PGA. I want to say it's the Senior PGA Championships always at Benton Harbor, Harbor Shores in Benton Harbor. But I have a feeling the PGA Tour suits are looking at Benton Harbor and say no, thank you. And I don't blame him, because Benton Harbor is a little scary at times.
Yeah.
You take a wrong turn, Benton Harbor, you might not make it back.
That's true. I'm not familiar with, like, I know we have a TPC course here. I've never played it. I don't know anything about it.
Like, I think the one course up here that I think could do it is just, like, the resort course. The Bear could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
From a logistics standpoint, from a hotel standpoint. But I can't ever imagine them coming to Traverse City, Michigan for a PGA Tour event.
It'd be cool. You know what would be cool is they could, you know what they could do is a Korn Ferry event for sure.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. And I think that would be a great next step, just to get something a little bit closer to Northern Michigan.
Well, let's get, you got people. We'll get some people on the phone. We'll call up the Korn Ferry. We'll tell them they need to get something rolling there.
I will offer our services at Baby Country Club without asking anybody.
Yeah, Thousand Oaks plays. Here, I got a card right here. Let's see. Tipped out, Thousand Oaks plays 7,000. Just tell them they're not allowed to use their drivers.
Yep. This is a Irons Only tournament.
Yeah. So, looping back to the Rocket Mortgage and the leaderboard here, or not the leaderboard, sorry, the odds board, there was a name I wanted to talk about. And he's quite the long shot this week, but he's sitting at 350-1. And I'll tell you what, you put a few bones on this guy, it might be worth it, because he might just be out there buying your beers too. And his name is Joel Damon. So for any of our listeners, if you are going to this event and you see Joel Damon, you be sure to give him a hard time, because he owes every single one of you at least one beer, according to his tweet that was recently revived by the social media team from the Rocket Mortgage Classic, where he stated that he would buy beer for everyone, seeing as the Lions helped get his Seahawks into the playoffs this year.
Yeah, that was, I think he might be regretting saying that a little bit.
Yeah, I think he might be with his recent performances, because his response was, I think he said something like, how much is the beer there? So he's looking at it from a financial perspective, which is not good.
Well, I wonder, so I figured he said that because at the PGA Championship, I think is what it was, he hit that guy in the, remember, and it was like $18 for a beer.
Yep.
And he was like, well, that's an expensive beer. And I kind of had a feeling that was his, like, that was the joke he was trying to make. But yes, that only thing I worry about Joel is I just don't think he makes enough birdies. You put him on like a hard golf course where par is not necessarily a bad score. I like his chances a lot more. I'm trying to think. So, like, let's just see who. Birdies by round.
You looking up Damon?
Yeah.
What is birdies by round averages or something?
Yeah.
It cannot be that high.
No, can't be.
He's been struggling lately. But that was about all I had for the Rocket Mortgage, I think.
Tony Finau has had a lot of birdies. Birdies.
Oh yeah.
Birdies. 25% of his holes he plays.
I bet Justin Thomas is up there.
Yeah, him and Max are 4 and 5. Guys that are in this field. Ricky's at 9. Thomas is down at 25.
Justin Thomas?
Yep.
Wow, that's
just
surprising.
Just moved up 25 slots after this past weekend, making all those birdies on Saturday.
That is very surprising.
All right, let's... So we had I'll quickly talk about our member, which actually was a new, so Petoskey Baby Country Club had their member this past weekend. We had typically always done two of them, a spring one and a fall one. That was changed this year to just one more in the middle of summer, where more the attendance would be better, which proved to be the case. So typically we'd only get like 18 to 20 teams per event last year or years prior, all the years. I think we had about 20, no, we had about 38 teams, 37 teams this year. So a great turnout. We did 27 holes on Saturday and then 18 holes on Sunday. previously we had done 18 holes and 18 holes on Saturday and Sunday. So we started off with 18 holes of scramble, which I didn't mind. I think scramble is better for a lower handicap player to stay in it. So started with 18 holes of scramble, went to 9 holes of true alternate shot, which was pretty brutal. We started off double bogey in true alternate shot, which was tough. And then 18 holes of better ball, one better ball of partners on Sunday. And then it actually, it was pretty cool. It goes into a shootout on number 10 with the 4 flight winners. And then you do a combined score to see who wins the overall championship. And I tell you what, Kyle, we almost saw a hole in one on number 10 from one of the competitors in the shootout. The ball, I don't know how it didn't go in. It landed 7 feet short of the pin, and it ended up an inch or two behind the pin, directly in line with where it landed.
Man.
It would have been pretty electric.
That would have been electric. Was it a situation where everybody's watching? Like, did everybody kind of stadium?
So all the carts went down and surrounded number 10. For the most part, there were guys watching up top too, but guys were, as the ball landed and rolled past hole, there was probably 7 or 8 guys that like almost converged onto the green, like sprinting out of the green because they thought it was going to go in. It was a very cool moment. I'm sure it would have been like an all time.
That's awesome. Those events are just so fun, whether it's a member or a member guest. It's just fun to play competitive golf, even if it's maybe not the most, I mean, it's, you know, it's serious, but you're not doing true stroke play, you know, or anything like that. So you said it was scramble, alternate shot, and then best ball were the three formats.
Yep.
That seems to be pretty standard for one of those events. And I will say, something about scramble golf is just so fun. Just knowing that you can just go for it on every hole.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think it's a really nice way to ease your way into the tournament too. Where if you just start off, because previously it had been better ball of partners the first round, followed by 18 holes of modified alternate shot where you both hit tee shots, and then you picked the best one from there to alternate in with. But I do think not only does this format ease you into it a little more, and like I mentioned earlier, I think the scramble and the alternate shot, it being a true alternate shot, is very beneficial to lower handicappers.
Yeah.
And as far as
that, how did that change your guys' strategy, having it be a true alternate shot versus I feel like I want to almost say it's a more traditional alternate shot. I feel like most places do that now where you both tee off. It's just kind of easier for pace of play. But how did you guys take that into effect at all? I mean, it's kind of hard, right? Because you need to make putts. You're not going to miss a putt on purpose so that you have a person, you know.
Well, no, you pick who tees off first on, like, whoever you pick who tees off the odds and even holes. Doesn't matter if that person finishes.
I see. Okay, never mind.
So every year we've done it, like member guest is alternate shot 9 holes, and I've always done the even holes because I want the tee shot number 8 mm-hmm. really, really bad, and I want the tee shot number 2 and 6. But I actually went odds on Sunday because I think I felt like I needed the par threes were going to be JT was hitting the drive on 8 was like that's the only reason I ever want the even holes, because I feel like it's almost worth a shot for me to go over. But in the rounds we had played previously, JT was hitting his driver like a little cut around the corner, so we only had about 250 in. So I figured might as well try to take the par threes, and then he took the even holes. But I wouldn't say, I think member guest next month when it's Mitch and I, Mitch will take the par threes again because he can't hit a draw to save us, or a cut rather. And he has to hit a cut on number 6. He's lefty.
Yeah, right. Nice. Well, yeah, those events are always fun. They always have the, you know, I'm sure they did like a dinner and all that kind of stuff. It's always a good time. And we're in that season now.
Yes. Yes. Well, what do you see? You want to talk about some your plateaus of the game of golf, the stages of golf.
Yes, this is for all the amateurs out there and anybody who's played golf throughout their life that plays it as a hobby. So I recently have unlocked a new level of my game, I will say. And so to preface this, I think I want to get your take on and kind of give my thoughts on the game of golf and how progressing in golf for me has worked. So I view golf, and this is probably very similar to other sports, but this is the one that I've happened to choose to play in my adult life. But I feel like it's a game of plateaus where when you're in a plateau, you're still gradually getting better, but the difference between your game in each plateau is very different. So basically, where it's at for me is I've been playing golf for quite a long time. And as you play more and more, it's very hard to reach the next plateau. So when you first start out, you'll be in your first plateau, we'll call it. You'll progress through that pretty quickly, and then you'll go to the second. And then as time goes on, it's harder to reach these next plateaus in golf. I think I got to my next plateau, and it's because of the putter, and it's because of this new grip. I will tell you, I have been making putts. I made the last four rounds, I have made putts that even I like kind of laugh. I'm like, what? That went in? I can't even believe it. But it's just interesting how that works, where it feels like something clicked into now where I feel like I'm just at this new level, and I know I'm not gonna go, hopefully, not going to go back down, if that makes sense.
No, totally. I think it. So I've always heard that if you want to break 80, you need to hit your driver in play. If you want to break 75, you need to hit more greens. And if you want to break 70, you need to hit more putts. And those are like the stages of golf. And if you start making putts, that's what takes you from a gets you under par. You can shoot 75 and be a pretty bad putter and make it look fairly easy, but that's those, and you don't even like realize it when it's happening, but those 5 or 6 footers that you start making regularly, that maybe one out of four of them went in previously, how much of a difference that makes throughout the round without even really realizing it.
It's incredible. And so from my perspective in talking about plateaus for me, so I've always been, I can keep a driver in play. If it's not, I can alternate to something and I have enough distance where it's not going to impact me too much. Irons have always been probably the best part of my game, but the putter has been the weakest part. And so what was amazing to me in getting to this next plateau with the putter is that when you're making putts, you're not even, I feel like I'm more confident even going past the hole. Like I'm not afraid of the comeback putt anymore. Whereas maybe you're not afraid of it when you are not putting well, but you're so hesitant that you're often leaving yourself short. And so I found myself in these last few rounds, going by the hole more. And it's just crazy how much it's a confidence thing with the putter.
Oh yeah. Well, I think if you're not putting well and you have a 15-foot putt for a birdie, at least my goal every time, if that's the case, is I want a par. Just give me a par, get me the next hole. Par is not a bad score. But if you're putting the ball well and you have a 15-footer and you say, well, shit, I can make this. Make a birdie. It's just much it's a much different thought process. And I don't feel like you being a little numbers, a little numbies guy, if you've read the Scoronomics book with the golf percentages of a par versus a par putt. If somebody has a par putt versus a birdie putt, you ever seen that?
I have not,
So it's
but
a,
I'm
I
about
will,
to.
I think I have the book in my house. I will figure out what it's called. Scorecasting, maybe. It was part of the Freakonomics series. It was when we had Yonkers teacher. I want to say it was called
Was
Scorecasting, and it was the.
it just a chapter in the book of
Yes.
Freakonomics?
I don't think it
Yeah,
was
so
in the
then I
Freakonomics book. I think it was called Scorecasting. I
It was
think.
called Score, or I think I know what you're talking
Okay.
about, but I'm familiar with what you're talking about, but I haven't.
But anyway, just the look, the idea that if somebody has a 10-foot par putt, how much more likely they are to make it than if it's a 10-footer for birdie. Because if you have a 10-footer for birdie, you know in the back of your mind, if you two-putt, you have a boat, all you have is a par. You made a par, that's great. But if you have a par putt from 10 feet, you're going to be more likely to make it because you don't want to make a bogey.
Yeah.
Which I always find very interesting.
It is. It's the sports psychology is definitely very interesting behind it. And I definitely do that because when it's a longer par putt, I tell myself there's no reason to leave this short, you know. So, but I will say for me too, I've been really cranking out that mirror training tool. So for the listeners out there, my recipe for how I've fixed my putting has been New Grip, Brad Faxon putting YouTube videos, and the mirror putting alignment training tool. That mirror tool that you recommended is awesome. I was standing too far away from the ball.
Yeah. No, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. So that was about it for me. Thanks for listening to my TED talk on the progressions of golf. I hope that you all find that interesting and can relate to it. Hopefully you can reach your next plateaus here this summer. We still have a lot of golf ahead of us.
Hell yeah. All right. Anything else?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, good luck at for the Rocket Mortgage, and we will talk to y'all next week.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
See ya.
Thank you.